All right, Gary, what are we playing this week?
Oh, cool. We've been doing this show for a long time.
That's how we've began the past 50 episodes.
That's the point at which it became a long time, and it is still a long time. It will eventually become we've been doing the show for a longer time, and then
Yes.
we've been doing the show for the longest time.
Oh.
Oh, for the longest time, we've been doing the show, and we do some real wild games. I mean, out there stuff, man.
Wild and crazy kids and games.
Yeah, balls. Do you remember that?
I remember balls.
Aussie no rules footy. What were they smoking? You know?
Australia, everybody knows that doesn't exist.
Yeah. It's just all these just like kind of crazy games. No rules, get fat. What were they smoking?
I don't know.
That, you know, they and I figured. Here's the thing: is that we could take. I've got here a big bin of games we got that don't have labels.
Ooh.
And then we're going to put them into the game computer, and it's going to reverse engineer to say what they were smoking.
Oh.
And we learn how some of these crazy ideas came about. Like Zurace, what was he smoking?
Turns out it was just rolled up Bibles.
Yeah, but he was smoking them.
He was smoking a rolled up Bible, which I
Yeah.
said that like it was an outrageous thing, but I knew a lot of stoners in
Oh,
school who
man.
did that exact same thing.
They all thought they were alpha as shit too. Like when a stoner did that, I feel like they felt like they were just like,
Really
this is the
sticking it to the
ultimate
man.
cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like I'm that artist who put the Jesus in the piss.
Right. The only we had a hyper religious social studies teacher. Actually, I liked him, but not a lot of people did. One of the stoners that I knew stole his Bible, like his family Bible. And then he started smoking. They would like send him pages out of it. It was fucked
Oh,
up.
that's incredible, actually. Like that's like I have to. That's mean, but I have to respect it, right? Like I'm smoking your lineage.
I'm
Like
smoking your
you're,
emotionally invested Bible.
yeah. I'm going to like smoke it. It's going to burn, like, and go into my lungs. Like I'm going to breathe it. You know,
It was actually
it's like
really
that.
mean.
No, it's incredibly mean. I just it's the audacity of it.
I know.
So I'm gonna take one of these random blank cards here and put it in the game computer, and it's gonna tell me what they are smoking.
Okay.
You know, so let me just take this one real quick, and then we can probably take that and then kind of reverse engineer into a game here. So
Yeah.
let me take this Super Nintendo card here and pop it into the game computer here, and they're smoking DMA.
Oh gosh, the chemical that's released in your brain when you die?
The low grade hallucinogen
Yeah.
that no one talks about anymore, and I had to Google before I came up with this randomization to see if it was actually a thing.
You mean DMT?
No, the DMT is one as well, but DMA is a thing too. I double checked. But I did have to double check.
Yeah, weird.
Do you want to expand that real quick?
Yeah,
Your
let me just do a go
hyperlink.
let me just do a search here. Let's see what Google auto completes. DM, God damn it, is that bagpipes? Gary, close your window because the Unipiper's here.
Oh no, this is what happens when you get high on dimethoxamphetamine.
Yep.
Yeah.
He going somewhere else?
Nope. I just
Oh.
wanted to pronounce it. I just,
Okay, wait a minute. Okay, so it auto completes DMA design. These are the Rockstar guys. Got that goddamn Unipiper, man.
Yeah, the unit. He needs to shut up, and he also. Hey, Unipiper, a bagpipe, a unicycle. What are you smoking?
What are you smoking?
What are you smoking?
Yeah.
Because hey, I want some.
Me too. Let me see. Oh, dude, so dude, DMA Design made a game called Uniracers.
I can't listen. Sorry, I'm having a hard time concentrating because of the bagpiping. Uniracers. I remember that game being very good. Actually, how do we get rid of the Unipiper so we can play in peace?
I think click click
I know,
close
I'll
close
fucking move.
the
Yeah, Vermont for me.
Portland is the problem.
Yep.
Portland, Maine doesn't have this problem though.
No. Portland, Maine. I don't know what Portland, Maine has going on.
Yeah.
Probably not a lot. Would I give up all the beautiful restaurants and people of the city to get rid of the Unabiper?
Yep.
in an instant. I'm Gary Butterfield.
I'm Cole Ross.
And this is Abject Suffering, the show where we play bad games so you don't have to.
Why are you doing this to us?
Mm-hmm.
Actually, no, this is kind of fun.
I like this game a lot, actually.
Yeah.
And I always have.
Oh, wait a minute. Is this a time for Gary's history with a game?
Yep. Last time you may have noticed that I said I played that game a lot, Boy and His Blob. Also to review Unabracers.
Yes.
It's a sequel to that story. Where both of them were games I played when I was a kid.
So that's funny because apparently this game got kind of rare.
Oh boy. You know, there's a lot of controversy on the message board about that. did you find that out? Did you see that?
Yeah. I saw people treating that as though it were some kind of kind
don't,
of urban
don't
legend.
Say it's rare, Cole.
Nope.
Don't say it's rare. Don't say it was rare or wasn't popular.
Oh yeah.
Like, there's no less than like four or five forum goons are on the case to shut down people who say such. Like
yeah. So I saw that. I thought it was people being real salty about how popular this game was. So
it's really weird.
Yeah. Yeah. Just like it's like the, so we should just talk about this. I need to pull it up because I think that I didn't bookmark it. But no, just like this guy said, like just started a topic saying, stop saying this game is rare. People loved it. It was on TV all the time.
Yeah. And earlier somebody like literally it popped up and this guy named Knight Halcyon, who says it never had TV ads during its release. And quite literally every person I know had it for the SNES, or everyone I know who had a SNES never played this game. And another person said, there's not enough facepalm.jpg to express my feelings on this post. Like somebody was extremely mad about that.
Yeah.
And it feels like this guy created a straw man, right? Like,
yeah.
People aren't really going to this board just to say how it wasn't on TV. But this guy, you know, it's almost like he invented Knight Halcyon to prove his point.
Oh, well, he's doing sock putting?
Yeah, I think it might be a sock puppet.
Yeah. Huh. So I guess I'm just... We generally shit on the concept, you know, the whole Mandela effect thing.
Yeah.
Right? You know, just the idea. This is, I think, some compelling information. You know, so a compelling case in at least one regard, because this might be a guy who just woke up, his home universe, like Uniracers became the biggest American esports sensation back in 1994. Like everything was all about Uniracers, like to a dystopian degree. And then now he thinks everybody else is going nuts.
Yeah. He's from a different timeline.
Yeah.
Yeah. Where he's at, everyone's playing Blitzball or what have you for the Zanarkand Abes.
The flying hellfish.
Yep.
Yeah. So this was recommended. Two people put this in. It was a random poll. We have Nick, who says, I actually loved this game. My brother and I sunk many hours into this thing. Also saying like I would never suggest this for WoF, but it might be abject worthy. This is exactly the place where we can talk about this.
Yeah, because I think this is really pretty fun. It's not perfect. There's not quite enough lead to do things, but that's really my only problem with it. Other than that, I think it's really fun.
Yeah. It's a little simple, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it gets more complicated as you go.
Yeah.
You know, for sure. But it definitely is a little bit simple. Mm-hmm. But it's a cool concept, you know, like a side scrolling racer where you do, where tricks equal boost and boost equals speed.
Yeah. So like a side scrolling SSX kind of thing almost.
Yeah. Yeah. I like that. And the different kind of track types and stuff are interesting.
Yeah. Different like race types or mission types too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. And there are like vert sections.
Just like, yeah, do as many tricks as you can.
Yeah. Like there's like half pipe things for these unicycles.
Yeah. So this is also recommended by Cal, who sent us scans of the story section from the manual, we should camp out on later. But while I was doing the, who suggested this, I wanted to get Cal in there too.
Are those scans, because the FAQ for this has a very long narrative section.
It's that same text.
Yeah, that text is crazy. we'll definitely get to that. Like, there's a lot of lore to this that you would not quite expect.
There's a lot of lore to this pretty competent tech demo.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I don't know, I'm kind of surprised that, there's actually a story why, like, nothing ever came of this and why...
Yeah.
And that's the thing that makes it interesting, is even though it's kind of a good game and it's very simple, you know, and we could reliably like talk about the Unipiper, you know, more too if we want to. But there's also the interesting story of how this the studio got shut down for this game. Like,
yeah,
this game has an interesting storyline because Pixar are monsters and just decided that they have a copyright on the idea of a unicycle.
Yeah, the just a quote from the Wikipedia, which pulled from a kind of neat little postmortem about this. The problem with Pixar was they seemed to think that any computer generated unicycle was owned by them.
Yeah, which, like, Jesus Christ, guys,
it's chill out.
Like, you know, the little short that Pixar did of the unicycle, the friendly unicycle. Mm-hmm. Like, does it look like this? Sure.
Yeah, because unicycles, they're generally not a lot of variants. Object.
Yeah,
outside of Burning Man, there's not a lot of variants. Yeah,
exactly. You got to get some custom units. The you know, which they don't have, and just like that's like a little cute little story and stuff. This is explicitly like a racer.
Yeah.
You know, this is you know, I don't think the story was similar at all or anything like that. It really bothered me that they did that.
Yeah.
You know, because like this would be like, I would love the eventually to have a really terrible 3D version of this on Nintendo 64, and then like a shitty load time, you know, version on GameCube, and then eventually like a good Wii version of this.
Yeah.
You know, when they bring it back to maybe a shitty Wii version with bad motion controls, and then maybe like a garbage Wii U version, but then eventually they do a good version on the Switch.
Yeah, good version.
I would have liked like 9 failed generations of this to get to something good
again. Until they make this good and they realize, oh fuck, we just made Trials HD again.
Yeah. I mean, it is kind of like, I mean, it doesn't feel like Trials at all or anything like that, no. But it does. It's like an early kind of, because you have to manage your landing.
Yeah, it's a little bit Excite-Bikey.
Yeah. You know, so like Excite Cycle or something like that. Una Excite Bike. Something I would have appreciated.
Yeah.
You know, later thing, if it didn't get shut down by Pixar, for roughly, you know, or for like frankly like megalomaniacal reasons.
Yeah. Like, you know? In 1994, before Pixar had any right to start going around swinging they dick. You know.
Yeah.
Not that they have the right now, but like, you know, you would like to believe that maybe they started out humble. But yeah. No.
Or just like, you know, even if it's not humble, just like understanding, like, you know, this is a little bit of a stretch.
Yeah.
You know,
should we get the basics of this out of the way?
Sure. Yeah. Sure. I mean, I thought we covered it, but maybe.
Oh, not. Yeah. Yeah. So this is like, it's a side scrolling racing / trick game. You play a disembodied unicycle, except the seat is the head. Like the
yes.
The head
please,
will like,
please sit on me, master. Like,
yes. Let me convey you.
Yeah, please sidle on up to my face.
Put the warmest, sweatiest part of you on top of me.
Yeah, that was the thing I used to see dirty stand-up comedians talk about a lot, where they talked about being reincarnated as a woman's bicycle seat.
Yeah, that sounds like
that
hell.
As a punchline. Yeah, that would be no good. Like, and this is somebody as somebody who appreciates women, and and understands the appreciation that goes in the bicycle seat part. Of women, that seems like hell.
Yeah, yeah.
To me, like just like a sweaty, farty hell.
Yeah,
you
know. Yeah. So I think that they're looking solely at location and not context.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, it's like maybe this place where you can put a Starbucks is right off the interstate, but it's also behind the like poison coffee plant, right. You know, or something like that. It's like right behind the you know.
Yeah, everybody in the Starbucks getting popcorn lung, like.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, but yeah, you play as these unicycles. You can pick different colors, and these colors are like basically they're named out of names that were pulled from the accounting department.
Yes,
just regular ass names. Of course, I went with Carol because Carol is a pink unicycle, but also Carol was the funniest name.
Yeah, Carol the unicycle.
Yeah.
The what is it on somewhere on Wikipedia, it talks about how they are it features unicycles with personalities or with separate names and distinct personalities or something like that, which I think is very funny, because like, you know, are you a Carol or are you a John?
Take this MySpace quiz
to find out which of the uniracers you are.
Get a piece of profile flair.
Yeah, get a badge.
Yeah,
for this message board where you can talk about how there were commercials for this.
God damn it. But yeah, you race around kind of on these kind of psychedelic rails almost that that go around. When you get air, you can do like little flips and stuff, or more complicated tricks. Like I figured out how to do a twist, which is fun. Mm-hmm. And yeah, like you score points. Every trick you do makes you go faster.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. The biggest problem with it, as I mentioned, is the amount of lead. Like, you just don't see enough screen.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, you can, you know, get to the point where there are hazards that come up as the game kind of quickly ramps up in difficulty. Mm-hmm. Hazards are going to come up. They do a clever thing where they warn you about upcoming hazards by having the track ahead of them change.
Yes.
But you still have to learn those. So it's kind of frustrating the first time you do it.
Yeah.
Like they're not, they don't convey information. It's just the different color will mean, hey, here's a glue trap.
Yeah.
You know, or here's a jump. But also you just don't have enough reaction time. So it ends up being kind of memorization based in the later levels.
Yeah. And even early on, when you get parts of the track that like invert. So, you know, not so much the loop de loops, cause they follow Sonic rules on that, where you don't have to change direction. You just keep pressing right and you go.
The corkscrews though.
Yeah. Yeah. The corkscrews, like you'll just end up, you'll go around them and then you'll just be reversing. And like that caused me to lose races because I didn't realize I had to like shift the direction I was pushing.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that was kind of my biggest problem along with the lead time thing. But otherwise, like managing your rotation so you can stick a landing is very fun. And getting big air in this is a lot of fun.
Yeah. And useful. Like it's fun and it's what you need to do to win.
Yeah.
You know, and the thing with the with not knowing, you know, having to immediately reverse, if there were more lead time and the game had better signaling, because there's all this background space, like you just kind of do everything in front of an abstract, you know, like, you know, a social studies folder ass background.
Yeah, a game of Zoop is happening in the background.
Yeah, yeah, unrelated Zoop. Related Zoopings. You know, and so there's no reason why there couldn't be signs, like literal signs that say what's going to happen.
Right.
You know, I think that would be the best way to do it,
yeah,
personally. But it gets away. These are little CG things. So they've got that Donkey Kong Country problem. But an object that is an inanimate object that's this simple doesn't look bad.
Nope.
It's the same. It's very similar to Pixar, where like when Pixar does a lamp or something, I think it's cute. When they do a human, I want it to die. You know, I think it's just really ugly. You know,
you want to go and unplug the rendering mainframe, so more unholy life cannot be breathed into.
Yeah, how can I? Yeah, I need to crash your server. You know, like this can't be. So it looks pretty attractive. Like it's very simple, but your little guy is really well animated and looks good.
Yep. Moves very fast and very smoothly. Like a little bit of Wikipedia said it best, but they've got this game focused on fast moving action and was released to show that the SNES could handle games similar to Sega's popular Sonic games. Citation needed. I can see that. I can see that being drawn as a conclusion. Like, oh, it's a fast moving game. This came out in 1994. Like that ship done sailed. If it took them that long to figure it out, if they are still like a holdover on the island fighting the blast processor war, I don't know what to tell them.
Who knows when development for it started?
Yeah.
Maybe that was originally the idea, and then it just took a long time to come out.
Yeah,
you know, it gets mentioned a lot in the same sentence as Stunt Race FX, which is a terrible game.
Ugh.
Like that's really ugly and slow and bad. You know, did you ever play that? Like
No. The
Star Fox style graphics racer.
No, it's really bad. I recognize the cover though.
It's like I feel like you get about like 7 frames per second in that game, like max. Like it's really, really slow and shitty and choppy. And
oh god, and they do the Faceball 2000 thing where it's just a smaller window inside.
Yeah,
the Chrome.
Yep. Ugh. To try to make it work, like. So that game and this game, you know, because they both used, you know, pushing the envelope style SNES shit. I see them mentioned a lot, but this is so much better and smoother. Like it is, you know, the blast processing wars were already over. Like to your point, at the same time, it is very smooth and fast. Like
it's being used to very good effect, right?
Yeah, like it no longer matters that the war was over. It just ends up being a very fast and smooth 16-bit game.
Yeah,
you know, you know.
Yeah.
And that's about what I got on the Unit Racer. You know, the game is very simple.
Yeah, you know, it's just fun to play. I imagine this would be very fun to play multiplayer. Actually,
oh yeah.
I wonder how smooth it would go in split screen though. Is the problem?
I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't know either.
The world may never know.
Let's get to the story a little bit.
Let's do this because it is a little bit bonkers.
Yeah, the Unit Racer story. So I thought I read this in a FAQ first. So I really thought the guy who was making the FAQ was doing this to be funny.
Yes, as did I. And then I immediately looked up the manual and determined, no, this guy is just copy and pasting.
Yeah, it's because it's pretty incredible. We should probably just go through it. It's long. It's three big paragraphs, but we should probably read it.
So I'm looking at the let me pull this up. So we're reading from the same thing. Yeah, let's trade paragraphs.
Okay. Yeah. So the Uniracer story. The sun didn't rise and the moon didn't set. Fluffy clouds failed to make any sort of appearance, and the night wasn't dark and stormy. Nobody was silhouetted against a backdrop of stars, and the burning fires of the dawn sky somehow never had a chance. There were no such things, you see, not in the universe of the Uniracers. But heck, that's the way it goes sometimes. There were far more important things to work up a sweat about than some pretty scenery. Racing, for one thing. For another, well, that was it. Just racing. It was the whole purpose of the Uniracers. And it happened sort of like this.
Okay, so setting it up, there are no stakes. There is nothing but the
race.
There's
no stakes. There's no sun. No stakes, no sun.
Yeah. Far in the past, or what passed for the past, some great and powerful person looked upon the abstract universe, universe capitalized, and realized that his boredom went right off the scale. He was through with creating a planet here, an asteroid there. What's more, he was trying to impress a young goddess who thought that he lacked a creative imagination. After all, you can only say kind things about a newly created world so many times without giggling. That kind of hard to relate to, but okay.
I don't feel like that is an expression.
Nobody says that. Nobody has said thought or felt that. This wasn't a fun situation for the person, as you can well imagine. So after a timeless interval locked in the celestial equivalent of a cupboard with an endless supply of turbo-strength coffee, he came up with the idea of a race of unicycles who would compete in the ultimate games. What's more, it would really break the ice at parties, such as the legend told by unicycles when they slow down enough to talk with each other. Well, sometimes. Although no one seems to know whether the person actually won over the young goddess and lived happily ever after. In fact, if you stopped a unicycle and asked, you'd find that none of them really cared. It's racing, that's the thing.
So what a weird second paragraph that is. Like the season of Bonfireside Chat we're going to do on this show, or on this game, we're going to really camp out on what this means. Yes. Because in this cosmology, there's a lot going on.
There are. So there are gods, but there is nothing. Yeah. They're creating worlds, but they're bored with it.
Yeah. And they're bored enough to where, like, now they're turning to mate. Like, now it's like they, you know, they have the same kind of anxieties and fears that a high school student might have.
Do you get the sense that this is like an awkward workplace kind of thing, too?
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah, like they're both at the World Factory. Together. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And one of them's like, you know, your worlds are really boring. And it's like, well, what if I created some unicycles? But then they go out of their way to tell us that the unicycles don't care about their gods.
No.
Like, to unicycles, there are no gods or masters. Like, it is only the race.
I think that those unicycles have been given a gift, though, because they are so single-minded, they cannot stop to consider their own existence and realize that one day it might end.
They will never have an existential crisis.
Right. In a way, they're like ants in the way, you know, and that way is I envy them.
Yeah. Yeah. And they race a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the other way. And they have one wheel. So like, you know, and then finally, kind of the final paragraph here, bringing it all together. So the Uniracers came into being and boy, were they racing machines or what?
that's like a Jack Andy line, like, hey, free dummy.
An entire race of dedicated cycles. Sure enough, they got right into their role and raced all the time in the abstract days and neon nights of their universe. And so it went for a long, long time. But there's something else too. Even when a unicycle couldn't find a racing partner, out of the abstract blue would turn up a ghostly cycle to provide a race by which to measure themselves. The ghosts never talk, never hang about to see what happens. Some call them the free spirits of cycles that lost important races and were condemned to race forever to prove themselves. Like,
holy
hell. This is like, this is like chapter 3 of a RPG source book.
this is the monstrous manual entry for the ghost cycles.
For a unicycle. Yeah. Others claim that they are personal cycles of that old person. That old person is capitalized.
Yeah.
Used to make sure the rest of them keep on track. And the very end of the quote unquote day in whispers is told of the anti-uni, the ultimate racer whom no one can find and no one but the greatest of all. Become the very height of racing excellence and the anti-uni will come to challenge you. Now, I watched some footage of the anti-uni. Do you know, are you familiar with this anti-uni?
I have read about the anti-uni. I've never seen the anti-uni in action. I know what it does. Tell me what the anti-uni does.
Oh, it's bullshit. Like it reverses your controls and makes you race upside down and shit.
Yeah.
It cheats.
It's like modifiers and mutators, right?
Yeah. The anti-uni seems like a real piece of garbage. Mm. You know, and I understand them wanting to summon it, but just doesn't it feel like there's more lore here than there really should be?
Oh, absolutely.
In general, you know,
I thought that's why we were reading it.
Oh yeah, no, that's definitely what we're reading. I'm just saying, it's just strange. I'm just remarking on how strange it is.
I just like that we get both the Genesis story and it's an SNES game, but we get the Genesis of this universe, and we also get like the hints of their afterlife and their myths and superstitions,
and only enough of it to like answer, you know, pose questions, because we know what happens when certain racers die and they become the ghost cycle. We don't know what happens to all the rest of them, though. You know, it's not like when all unis die, they go to like Uni Valhalla and become ghost racers. Like only some of them do. If they had like,
like their afterlife is no different than their life. All they do is race.
Yeah, it's a, you know,
I'm gonna race till the day I die, and then for an eternity afterward. Yeah,
and then I'm gonna take an afternoon off for death. And then I'm going to continue to race.
Yeah.
What were the guys, you know?
I want to meet the person who had to come up with that in an afternoon.
Yeah.
As the manual was going to print.
I just would have gone easier with it.
Yeah.
You know, you just really could have just been like, you know, in an unbelievable. I mean, actually, maybe I don't know what to do.
You don't answer questions that nobody is ever going to ask. Nobody's going to look at the way this game plays and say, oh, there's got to be more to this.
But it's such a blank slate. Like, just like you, if you just told me, like, hey, Gary, come up with a reason for riderless unicycles to race.
Oh, yeah. I don't think I could do better.
Yeah, I don't think I could do better either. This might be the only answer, which is pretty strange. You know, like, this is the only.
Yeah.
This is the correct answer.
Yeah.
Like as true as 2 + 2 = 4.
Yeah.
The reason why unicycles might race is there was no day and there was no night.
Yeah. I mean, it's a little bit like how evolution works, right? Like you look at something like the platypus. The platypus is an answer to millions of years of questions about what can survive best.
Yeah. Right? And no one can remember those questions, and a bunch of them no longer are valid, and, right, you know, et cetera. Like, it's kind of interesting. You have to work backwards.
Yeah. From it. This is something else. So pointless.
It's extremely silly. It feels like a transmedia property. Like this would have been a Saturday morning cartoon.
Oh yeah. Yeah. They'd have to have different sassy voices.
Yeah. I could see that.
Yeah.
You know, they'd have to cut down the cast a little bit. Cause as opposed to just every,
you know, just every the color of the rainbow,
popular baby names on each column.
So. Yeah. So you played this when you were a kid?
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I had this. I think I vaguely either rented it a lot or owned it. I don't really remember.
Yeah.
But I had it a lot. I played it quite a bit.
Yeah. Now this would have been very much up my alley, because I don't have that much of an interest in like a straight up car racing game unless a twist to it. But like this, yeah. No, I mean, like trick based play. I never really got into that until Tony Hawk.
Yeah, well, it didn't exist so much. Like you could still play like 720 Degrees or Skate or Die, but they're not very good.
Mm-hmm. I think you mispronounced that. I think you mispronounced Skate or Die.
Oh, die.
Yep.
Skate or Die.
Okay.
Die.
Thank you.
You're welcome. In that game, you generally just skate or die. You know, the tricks are purely optional.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this controls smoother than any of those other games.
Yeah.
For a trick based game like that.
Like you rotate using the shoulder buttons, which is good use for those.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's very good. Mm-hmm. I don't actually, other than even without the Unipiper, I've never liked a unicycle.
No, no. So I came to despise unicycles even before I was aware the Unipiper was a thing. For people who are not aware of our long running feud with this guy, it's one particular guy in Portland who makes makes a point to ride around in outrageous costumes on a unicycle playing a bagpipe. The bagpipe is the most obnoxious part of that equation because it does broadcast, you know, far beyond where is that, you know, where you can actually see him. You can hear the Unipiper before you see him.
Yes.
we mostly encounter him. Like he is a fixture around Portland just randomly. I don't know how he sustains himself.
That definitely used to be true a couple years ago. He's kind of going legit.
Okay.
Now, so it's more like I think people hire him to be at things.
So that's the thing. Like he recently started being an official fixture at the Portland Retro Games Expo playing, I was about to say off key, but it's a bagpipe. Everything's off key.
The key doesn't factor into a bagpipe.
No, but playing,
it's not music,
but playing queasy and ear piercing versions of video game songs, specifically the Super Mario theme song and the Zelda theme song.
Yes. And if you're unfamiliar with the bagpipe, or if it's been a while since you've listened to it, like you might think, like, you know, I was surprised when we talked about this, the number of people on the Slack were like, I like bagpipe music.
Mm.
And it's, you know, first of all, I find that to be a surprising statement in general.
Bagpipes, you know, only belong at Scottish funerals. I'm fine with a Scottish funeral.
Yeah, I'm more than fine with Scottish funerals. More of them, please.
Well, this is a very strange ethnic feud.
But I think that when, like, I kind of was just felt more neutral about them when it was just an establishing shot in a movie kind of thing.
Oh, and it's always Amazing, you know? Grace. Like I am habituated to hearing Amazing Grace as a bagpipe song.
Yeah. You know, or a Scottish funeral or something like that. And it's like, oh, this is appropriate. Like it's an instrument that evokes a feeling.
Yeah.
As somebody, and I'm not trying to say this, I'm not pulling out some expertise or anything, cause I'm not particularly good at any of the things I do with that. But like as somebody who, plays some musical instruments and seeks to understand musical instruments, they just seem like such weird fucking value propositions to me, because you just always have to have that like drone,
mm-hmm.
that like discordant drone that colors everything you play with it. Yeah. It has one volume, which is louder than anything. Note, like the quality of the note isn't particularly like consonant or anything.
It's just reedy.
Yeah, it's just like a big, it's like a really loud, annoying accordion. Yeah. And a lot of people think accordions are already very annoying.
Yeah.
You know, it's like an accordion for people who didn't think accordions were annoying.
I'm fine with accordion, but that might be because I live in a very German town. And oftentimes you just get, you know, go to a restaurant and there's somebody going table to table playing accordion and it's fine.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I like an accordion and volume control.
Yep.
different bass notes, you know, like things that are very basic to an instrument.
Yeah. A bagpipe is both inflexible and overpowering.
Yes.
It doesn't play nice with anything. That is annoying enough, you know, like when it's a part of music, right? Like it's always by itself. It also doesn't play well with Civilization.
Yeah, because you can't, it's just too loud.
Uh-huh.
You know, you can't, when he comes around in Portland Retro Gaming Expo, or when he comes around at any Portland thing, it just like, you know, part of the reason why I think that guy's very obnoxious, and people have, you know, told me before, it's like, oh, just live and let live, you know, mm-hmm. you're being a grump, which is what people say to me about everything I said, have ever said,
mm-hmm.
In my life. And they've said about this, and it's like, yes, you know, is it hurting anything in the grand scheme of things? Like, you know, no, he's not Paul Ryan, you know, like, I don't know,
right.
You know, I recognize that. At the same time, though, it is very loud and demands attention in a way that I was not prepared to give it.
Yeah.
You know, so him showing up dressed in a very outlandish, like geek costume, doing a stunt and playing incredibly loud music is a human, like, look at me.
Yeah.
Kind of thing. And there's just a lot of like that of dork culture that is about just like, hey, look at me, that I think is kind of shitty.
Yeah. I'm going to contain this just to the Unipiper, but like, there's no reason for it. There's no reason for it other than look at me.
Yeah.
I would go so far as to say like, nobody has derived joy from it. However, people like stand in circles when he does his thing and like cheer and like throw money at him. So like, it's,
yeah. people definitely like it who aren't me, and they're getting a better, or aren't us, you know, and they're getting a better deal because they get to like something that happens all the time.
Yeah.
Whereas we just get to be annoyed by something that happens all the time. But like, I just feel like if any kind of, even if it's music I liked, like even his instrument I liked, if somebody came out with a keytar, like the Uniketar, and he just started like blasting cool synthesizer music, if it was louder than hell, you know, I don't want to hear YYZ at max volume at random intervals, you know, like, you know, I just, I like that song, but
Yeah. And like a lot of this, I don't know, for me, it's because, you know, we're at the PRG all day when we're there. We're like, we're at the booth. And so, you know, we're not somebody who goes there, like walks around the floor for an hour and a half and is gone. And so you only get like one or two appearances of the Unabagger, but like, no, we get it for, you know, 16 hours, 17 hours.
It's more than the USDA. Recommended amount of bagpipe for sure.
Yeah. No, my feud against unicycles goes back even further, because we had a unicycler on the campus of the University of Cincinnati during my time there. Like, it was just one guy who would go from class to class. He was there for my entire time, and I've heard other people talk about him. I don't even know if he goes to classes. But he will just like cross the campus, and it's a very hilly campus, so I can respect the, you know, the dexterity that goes into that, the stamina that goes into it, like riding a unicycle, something I can't do, probably takes a lot of work. That is aside from the point that, again, it is a look at me kind of thing.
It's like in a social context, it's like learning a trade almost.
Yeah,
you know, like you like I'm gearing up for college. If I learn how to unicycle and buy a unicycle, I'm kind of dialed for being that dude.
Yeah.
Or it's like a trade for an identity. Like, you're never, you know, like, you're unlikely to make money from it. You know, like I'm sure the Unipiper is not unique in the world of professional unicyclists, but there probably aren't that many.
Mm-hmm. I mean,
most
clowns.
Of them are just like, you know, yeah, well, they do a lot of other stuff too. Right. You know, as far as just like, you know, this one skill. But like that guy in the college, like I feel like every college has one of those guys.
Did you have one at PSU?
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Like and NIU when I work there, and like it's like sign up. Like you go to college and it's like, this is gonna be the unicycle guy. Somebody else is gonna mod their bicycle to have a boombox on it, so they can ride around on a bike with like loud boombox music.
Yeah.
And they're just gonna be that guy, you know.
Yeah. And so I was thinking about this because I knew we were going to go there. I knew we were at least going to broach the Unibagger. I don't think this is true for bagpipe. However, let me just put the unicycle guy in contrast. So we had unicycle guy, but for the first couple of years that I went to UC, we also had a group of three or four people who all decided to go from class to class on Razor scooters.
See, that sounds like a cool crew.
That's awesome, right?
Yeah, I think that's pretty funny.
Yeah,
because they're not just like, hey, look at us, we're on
there was definitely a look at us kind of thing, because they would go up to the front of like Tangerman Hall, and like they had like tricks for folding them up together. Like the reason you like that is it's a bunch of people who agreed to do a thing.
Yeah, it's cuter, you know. It's cuter, and then also like you know, they're getting to class. It's a transport thing.
Yeah,
you know.
Well, so like a unicycle guy, I think that unicycle guy would actually be a little bit more bearable if it was like a bunch of people.
Yeah,
like that immediately takes it away from look at me to like, this is us.
Yeah, the look at us is good.
Yeah.
You know, like have a band. It's the same way, like, you know, a band is a different value proposition to a guy whipping out an acoustic guitar at a party. Mm-hmm. You know, we talked about that a lot. And like just being like, thing like, I ride my acoustic guitar.
Yeah.
Like my acoustic guitar is my conveyance. I'm essentially like a centaur with this guitar, you know, in this unicycle. Like I made it part of my body.
A guitar tar.
Yeah. AKA a unicycle rider. The guitar tar.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess that is pretty similar, because like somebody at a party who pulls on a guitar, terrible. I've gone to parties. I've gone to somebody's house in order to listen to their band play in the attic.
Yeah. You know? Yeah, and it's great. It's like going to a show is a thing. It's about going to a dedicated space for yourself versus recontextualizing the space around you all the time.
Right.
You know, to be about a show. So anywhere the Unipiper is, you know, it's a show. You know, no matter what. Like, and it's a rolling show. It's a roving show.
Yeah. And I really feel like I should put the Razor crew in time and space. So I went my freshman year was 2006 to 2007. This is a good 10 years after
Razor Mania.
Yeah. A good 6 years after Razors were like a thing, you know,
I told you that I won one of those once from a job I had, right?
Oh no.
When I worked overnight dispatching tow trucks, I won a Razor scooter. And I don't remember entering the contest or anything. I think it was like for a holiday. I think I just came in once, and like I worked at night. So, you know, it was just real weird. There's no culture. Okay. They're like there's a whole daytime crew thing of the bosses and stuff, and then at night, like, I brought in a TV and a PlayStation and played through Final Fantasy IX, and we had like movie nights and stuff. It was really goofy. And just like one day, there was just like a scooter, a Razor scooter, waiting for me, and like I just like, what the hell, dude? You know,
your number came up.
What do I do with this? And I took it out to the parking lot and like kind of scooted around a little bit. You know, it's probably like a 23. You know, it's probably about how old I was during this,
right?
You know, so it's still, so also after Razor Scooter Mania, you know, so it's 2003. And then I gave it to a coworker so she can give it to our son, and then in memoriam went to Walmart and bought the Razor Scooter PS1 game, which is a Tony Hawk ripoff,
right?
And
I remember Hawk that being okay.
It's not bad, actually. Like, all those Tony Hawk ripoffs, like, you know, I don't remember as good as Tony Hawk, but like, they're fine. And just playing that instead. So I'm just like, I had a Razor Scooter year. Like, just like, well, yeah, okay. Like, I, the universe decided to bestow this upon me, and I must honor it somehow.
Yeah. Yep. They were fun. Not for doing like tricks or whatever, but like, you know, they were, I was 13, and I feel like 13 is the right age for having a Razor Scooter.
When I was very young, when I was a kindergarten thing, my dad took a skateboard and bolted.
So he ruined a skateboard?
Handles to it. He ruined a skateboard and he turned it into a thing that he called a scooter skate.
Huh.
Which was a lot like a Razor Scooter without the pivot or without the swivel handle. It was just a skateboard with handles.
That I could
use that way, that I loved as a thing. It was like one of the very, like, you know, shitty father, but like one of my, you know, only like very, very fond memories of him making this thing for me.
Yeah. Well, that'd be and fun. It's just like a skateboard you steer by leaning, but you have something to hold on to.
Yeah. Exactly. And you could always have kind of your hands on a thing. Cause mm-hmm. that's the, I can't skate, and that's why I need to have my hands on something. And just go down to the parking lot and just zoom around.
Yeah.
Yeah. A lot of fun doing that.
Neat.
Yeah.
Wow. There's a real range on the price for these unicycles, man. There are some that are like $40. There's one that's like $500. There are like, electric unicycles that are just that are just discs that have little footholds on them. Yeah, they're like half of a hoverboard.
I think I've seen those before.
Yeah.
Yeah. Those are pretty wild. We should we need to, because we do a lot of these conventions and stuff. I don't know. We can't steal the Razor Cruise idea. Maybe we roll up on boppets or something like that, or like,
no, you know, you mean hopping bops or hippity hops?
Yeah. If boppets would also work, we like skip on up or on a skip it.
Oh yes, skip it for sure.
Yeah, on a boppet.
A boppet is not a means of like a means of conveyance. No, but if we just roll up with boppets,
yeah, just like while in mid boppet, you know, like whenever we go anywhere, we walk and step while bopping it.
Yep.
And then, you know, to like twist it.
We are very good at following directions.
Turn it, boing. You know, that's how you can tell we're coming. You know, everyone looks up from their video games and they just hear like, spin it, shrink. You know, and it's like, oh, it's those guys.
Did you ever have a Bop It Extreme?
No. I think we talked about it before, but I did not have a Bop It Extreme.
Yeah. I had Bop It Extreme when I was young, didn't, and never had a regular Bop It. Holy shit, Bop Its are expensive, Gary.
What?
I guess that I don't think they make them anymore.
Okay.
But like the Bop It that I recognize, so the Bop It Extreme is $140, and like a regular Bop It Prime is $114.
They definitely make them still. You go to Amazon, you can get the Bop It for $30 and the Bop It micro game for $17.
Mm, okay.
Yeah. But old Bop Its, I guess there's probably like Bop It collectors.
Yeah.
This Bop It Extreme 2 on Amazon is $45.
Right. And that's the one that I had, the purple and turquoise one, because it was the 90s.
Yeah. Yeah. This is some of the old school Bop Its. I'm surprised there are Bop It collectors.
Yeah. Oh, wait, Bop It Tetris? What are you, yeah, wait a minute.
No, so you can own that for $13.
Mm. I'm gonna leave that link open. It's gonna stay open in a tab until I'm good and drunk.
You come home with a Bop It texture like me, absolutely twisted, coming home with a bunch of Bop It Tetrises.
I only need one.
We could come up on hippity hops or skip-its as well, though.
Mm.
As a thing, like doing boppets is very funny, but skippeting can be a means of conveyance.
Even when I was a little kid, I couldn't get the skippet over my foot. Like, getting it onto my ankle was very tough. I would have to take my shoe off, put the skippet on, and then put the shoe on.
It's to hold the skippet in place.
Right.
What about a house arrest skippet?
That's what Paul Manafort has on.
Yeah, like you get throw on your house arrest skippet, so you must always be skippeting.
Yeah, or else you die. Or else the bus from Speed explodes.
Yeah. Or like if I was ever under house arrest, it would be very fun to attach a skippet to my ankle bracelet.
Oh, it'd be like really just, you know, make lemonade out of the situation.
Yeah, it'd be like, you know, and then like my parole officer would come over and every time he'd see it, he'd kind of smile and be like, I can't believe you murdered that Unipiper. And I'd be like, I know.
He was asking for it.
He was like, listen, I've heard all the excuses why I shouldn't. However.
Yeah. So do you think they make like Heelys in a size 12? I'm positive they make Heelys in a size 12. Man, is it too soon for Heelys? Can we bring those back?
Let me see. Adult Heelys. Heelys.com/adults.
Ooh.
I don't know if it's too soon.
Okay.
I feel like we could be the Heelys crew.
Okay. Yeah.
They have really cool names. The Heelys for adults. We got Force, Hustle, Launch.
Oh, I want Launch. I think that Launch has a. Oh, you know. So this might have been a little bit after your time. Did you ever have soaps or be around people who wore soaps?
I don't know what that means.
Okay, so soaps, they're fashioned like a Vans skate shoe.
Okay.
However, kind of in the arch in the like just the middle part of the foot, it is a plastic or sometimes like metal kind of plate. And it's meant so you can do like Sonic style grinds on stuff.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. But I mean, like, this was like middle school time. So it was around like 2000. And so people would like come to school with like a thing of wax and, you know, our middle school, like, play yard or whatever. It was like a set of monkey bars and just a bunch of railroad ties laid around.
Yeah,
and then they would wax up the railroad ties something good, and they would do their grinds. So that sounds pretty
rad.
Yeah, we might be able to do soaps.
Yeah, yeah, we could do. I mean, that gets very close to parkouring.
Shit, you're right.
Which, like, if we become the parkour gamers, like, I don't. That's already a YouTube channel, yeah. I'm sure.
I really don't. I don't feel physically capable of doing parkour. I mean, I could do like really unimpressive parkour for a short amount of time.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
It'd be like I need to sit down for a minute.
Yeah, I can jump over a rail. these adult Heelys, though, you can get the Propel. You can also get the Propel Terry.
What?
Who's Terry?
Why's he got to get there so fast?
Yeah, why does he get his own Propel?
Wait, is that an electric Heely? Does it have like a little motor in it?
Let me see. Propel Terry. Lightweight outsole. Smooth toe classic silhouette. Synthetic upper leather. That doesn't look like it. It has low profile wheels, so no one knows you're... These are Heelys.
Secret Heelys.
Heely secrets.
Yeah.
You can get a real discreet if you get the split model without Heelys written on the side. It just looks like a straight up black shoe.
Huh. Yeah, that may be the one. These are pretty beefy, actually, for shoes.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
It's to hide all the Heely technology within.
I suppose. Yeah. And just they look. I'm more of a fan of you know, like a Skecher kind of Oxford boot kind of style. And a sneak.
You want the launch, my friend.
Yeah. What'll it take for you to walk out of here, to roll out of here in a launch
I'm not gonna
today?
Rest until you have a turtle and a Heely. The American dream.
Yeah.
Man, you could put a turtle in a Heely.
Oh,
and it'd
my
be
God.
Like a tank for him.
It'd be like. I mean, it wouldn't be like a tank. It would be the fastest he's ever gone.
Yeah, that turtle would go ape shit. It'd be like that Willy Wonka horror tunnel, you know, except all the time.
There's no earthly way of knowing. Yeah. So these launches, they only come in burgundy, with gold hardware, which in one sense I get, but it's also not my style. So.
Oh, the launch. I see many different types of launches here.
Oh, okay.
It might be on different different Healy's pages.
Okay, no, I see a blue one here. The blue one here is good.
Yeah. There's a black. There's a pretty discreet looking black Healy.
Yeah,
a black launch.
Oh, so can I get something in a dress Healy?
Yeah. Business Healy's and pleasure Healy's. You get home from work, you remove your set, you put on your fun ones, and then you Healy on down to the kitchen to make yourself a snack.
Oh, but they're out of size 12s. Damn it.
Yeah. We could, instead of doing all of this stuff too, we could also just be the gamers because we had to figure out what type of gamers we are.
Yeah.
Right now, I think that it's just like, look at those two guys.
Yeah.
And I don't think there's anything to it. But like, what if we put taps on our shoes, but we didn't tap dance? We just walked.
just an announcer.
Yeah.
Oh my god, the Click Clack Boys.
Yeah,
here they go. Like,
here come the Click Clack Boys to talk about Donkey Kong. click clack.
It'd be so dramatic walking like you just like as everybody's tearing down. Like, no more games here. Just the ghosts and memories of so is past.
Click clack, click clack. If you, they say that you can still hear the Click Clack Boys.
Can you
the
convert?
Table was right there across from the toilet.
Yeah. We could convert shoe to tap shoe. Is there just like a plate you can buy?
Hey, there are taps you just add to your shoes.
Huh.
Yeah.
No, that might be good.
Let's see on Amazon. Amazon men's traveler. Heel plates, heel plate taps with nails, black plastic tap, seven pairs for $9.
Wow. That's like a full lifestyle conversion kit.
Yeah. This is, you can, it's, if you have seven pairs of shoes, you need to convert to tap shoes.
Like right away. because all the world's a stage.
This is to outfit a crew. Like, this is definitely like, we've got to
roll
shoes
deep.
And America's Got Talent is filming in 20 minutes.
Yeah. If we wanted to be a more stationary type of gamer, I mean, this probably won't work that well because we're sharing a booth with Retronauts, but we could be the sleepy gamers. Like, we could just have like a little cot set up, or if we're up against a wall, we could do like a hanging astronaut sleeping
hammocks.
Bag.
Yeah.
Oh, hammocks. Yeah.
Yeah. Hammocks. And we could probably get, Bob in on that at the very least, because Simpsons appeal. I don't think we could get Parrish in a hammock.
No, I think that is below his dignity.
Yeah, I'm sure he enjoys a good hammock on his own time, but I don't think I could get him to become the hammock gamer.
Yeah,
but I think we could handle that ourselves.
Yeah,
and there's no reason why we couldn't be like the tap hammocks or something like that. Like we could do both.
Yeah,
you know, because the in the tap world, we're not tap dancing.
No, this is purely like
I don't want to give up walking for as part of the gamer identity. Like, as a gamer American, I still would like to walk.
Yes, I definitely would still like to walk. And honestly, if I'm dancing, I'm going to do a soft shoe.
Yeah, I would like to try it. It always looked like something I could do. I don't know if I actually know if it looks like it.
I never tried, so technically I don't know if I can't.
Yeah, exactly. I assume I can do that. What a weird thing if we got real into tap dancing. What if we got really into tap dancing enough to where we start taking over the network in general? Like, you know, we started like our, you know, a separate sideshow about it, like all of our Patreon goals. It's we're very early for April Fool's next year. So as we record this on April 2nd,
we have basically a full year to get ready for this
and to learn how to tap dance and upload some videos.
You know, I think that like with lessons a couple of times a week, like if you just join a class, I think you could become pretty okay at tap dancing within a year.
Yeah. Oh yeah. If you can't get good at it, there's something wrong.
I think that there's a certain threshold. There's a ceiling where only people who are really good at tap dancing can tell if something is good or bad tap dancing.
Hmm. Yeah, I have a really hard time knowing what's good tap dancing. Like, I know Ben Vereen is good. And that's it.
So. Well, what's a Ben Vereen?
Ben. Snicked. How do you actually say that guy's name?
I don't know.
Ben. Yeah, Ben Vereen.
Huh.
I said it right.
No, I don't know who that is.
God damn it, Cole, making me doubt myself with my shitty mush mouth, man. He's an American actor, singer, and dancer. It appeared in numerous Broadway theater shows.
Okay, cool.
He showed up a lot on like Sesame Street and stuff.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Or like Channel 11 things for some reason in the when I was a kid. So he was in Idlewild. Like,
yeah. Gary, I can't tell how long we've been going.
He's the mayor on Zoobly Zoo.
Okay.
So that's why I know him quite so well.
All right.
Appeared in Star Trek The Next Generation as the father of LeVar Burton.
Oh,
so he's
okay.
George's dad. So he was in Roots. His name also does sound like a specific kind of Wolverine, though.
Yes.
So to your point.
Okay. There we go.
Yeah. Yeah. It's probably a good time to end the show.
Probably.
Yeah.
So thanks to Nick and thanks. It's Nick and Cal. Thanks.
Yeah. Thanks, guys. We do appreciate it. I enjoyed having an opportunity to revisit this sincerely.
Yeah.
If you like this show, if you want to suggest games, there's a easy way to do that. If you go to the about page, on the website, but if you want to demand games,
patreon.com/duckfeedtv,
a slave suggests, a man demands.
Yes.
You can do so by becoming a patron. If you go to that website that Cole mentioned,
please do. So do.
Hmm? Yes. So do. You can also get bonus episodes for doing such.
Yes. Yeah. Otherwise tell your friends and show up next week. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Listening every week is important. We appreciate that. Yeah. And then ratings, reviews, that kind of jazz is all very helpful.
Man, Ben Vereen really likes playing mayors. He also played the mayor of Cleveland and Hot in Cleveland.
Do you know what Hot in Cleveland is?
It is an American sitcom TV show that was on TV Land starring Valerie Bertinelli.
Is it Hot in Cleveland?
Yes.
Or hot, okay, I thought you said Hot and Cleveland.
Yep. And I'm like, they're two cops.
Yeah. Both of which were named random, like by a computer. Like they both were named by a series of Google Translate mistakes,
by a neural net. They translated it to Chinese and then back.
Yeah, we're a Markov chain.
Yeah. Oh my God! Hot in Cleveland ran for 6 seasons.
That's a lot of Cleveland. Yeah. God damn.
128 episodes.
God damn.
Huh.
So if you want to hear more things of us reading from Wikipedia. You can do so by listening to those other shows. However, though, until next time, watch out for Unidog.
Yeah.
I guess. Yeah, Unidog. One dog. One dog.
One dog.